Good afternoon. Was a good dinner. And Bonnie, thank you for asking me to give a message here today. It's an honor to do so, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege to talk about the Lord anytime, and I really appreciate that and doing it. And Pat and I, we used to go to Grace Brothers Church in Sterling. And the pastor over there, his name is Bob Moeller, Pastor Bob. And he asked me several times to do things, and I kept saying no. And he said they asked me to read Scripture, and that's what they did over there at church. And they get somebody from there and read the Scriptures. And so he asked me to do that, and I said, well, I can't do that. So I wouldn't do it. Then the head person that helped with the offering, and he asked me, he says, well, would you help with the offering? And I finally said, okay, I can do that, and I'll try it. And he said, oh, by the way, when you give the pass the plates out, you also have to pray. I thought, I do? He said, yeah. He said, they will call on you. And he said, well, you have to do it today. We'll ask you maybe next week or so. And so then when he asked me to pray, I thought, the next week. And I said, he asked me, well, it's your turn to pray, to lead us in prayer. Man, I broke out in a sweat. I thought I was going to pass right out. I really did. And I was probably, and when the pastors give the sermon, I don't know what he said for at least halfway through the sermon. I was so nervous about it. I couldn't hardly do it. And I would talk in front of people occasionally, insurance meetings and stuff, and it didn't really bother me too much. But I asked Pastor Emer, I said, why in the world did that bother me so much in praying? I mean, that did. And he said, well, you're talking to the higher power. You're talking to the Lord. The man's in charge of everything. He said, that's probably why it bothered you, because you're doing that. But it sure did. And it did for quite a while. And actually, it still does. I mean, I'm glad to do it. But it does, because I guess I'm praying to the higher power and to do that. But I got through it, but the only reason I did get through that is through the Lord. And I realized that at Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's how the only reason I'm able to do it. That's the only way I'd be able to speak here today. The Lord gives me the strength to do that. So I'd like to give Him the glory for it. So I'd like to start with prayer to honor Him. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today in your house and to give you the glory and thanks for your blessings. And Father, we pray for the people here today and to honor you. And pray for the people that couldn't be here, are sick. We have a list of them. I know Marilyn Nye, and pray for her and her heart problems. And Carl Hines and the Janet Baird and the Thompson, Andrew, and Bo Knight, and there's a whole list of people that we need to pray for, Father, and couldn't be here today, and pray for them. And pray for wisdom and knowledge, and give me the words today to speak today, and that the people here listening and open their hearts and mind to they can understand what I'm saying. So, Father, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, I want to start out Revelations 3:14, and most of you probably don't have your Bibles here today. That's okay. I can just read it to you. When I was became a deacon, there's two things that happened to me where I know the Lord was really talking to me, and knew I needed to do things. And when I was became a deacon, a pastor asked me if I would do it, and I said, well, I'll give him the same old standard answer like everybody does. I'll pray about it. I didn't know it was the standard answer at that time, but I did say that, and I found out through pastor's messages that's the standard answer people give. So I said, okay, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. So I did. And I talked to Pat, and I talked about it, and I thought, you know, I'm not really saying no to Pastor Ingram. I'm saying no to God. I said, I need to do that because I didn't want to stand before the Lord. The Lord says, I gave you opportunities to do something for me. You kept saying no. So I need to do that for the Lord. And so I did. I took position of deacon. Then another time, the Lord was talking to me. I got a really burning desire to stand up for the congregation. Rock of Ages came in, and this was like the second time I've been here. And Pat was in Florida at the time, and I had a burning desire to stand up and give a story about the missionaries not home yet. And I just had a burning desire I needed to really do that. I remember I was sitting at my kitchen table. Like I said, Pat was in Florida. She wasn't even home. And I was trying to talk myself out of it. And the Lord says, no, you need to do this. And I had a real desire to do that. So I decided, okay, I will. And so I asked Pastor Ingram, I says, that night. And I says, could I stand up and give the story? And that took him by surprise. He said, well, okay. You can if you want to, I guess. And so I sat close up front. So and I was eagerly waiting to take my turn at the last, and he about forgot me. I think he bought over with, and I said, "Hey, Pastor, can I get my story?" He says, "Oh yeah, come on up here," and so I did, and so I just had a burning desire to do that, and so I told my little story. Then right after that, maybe a month or so, whatever it was, Bonnie asked me to give the message of the Golden Oldies. So that's one of my first messages I ever did was here the Golden Oldies. And after that, my little story I told. But I don't know why the Lord wanted me to do that. So I said, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. And so so I give my message here at the Golden Oldies the first time. So I had a burning desire to do that for some reason. And it happened to be some other times where the Lord was really talking to me. And He will, if you will really listen to what He's saying to you. He might contact you through their different ways. I heard a verse on radio one time, and I went home and I looked it up. I said, that's what I've been studying right here. And so he will talk to you if you listen to Him by different means and to learn what He's telling you. And so today I want to start with Revelations 3:14. I'm sure you all know this very well, but this has been on my heart to say this. But I'll read this, 14. I start with verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy words, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have nothing, need of nothing, I knowest that thou art not wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I course thee to buy me of gold and tried in the fire, thou mightst be rich in white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that is shame of thy nakedness. Do not appear, anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also overcome, and I will sit down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And so, start with verse 14. The angel is writing to the churches, and amen, and I looked up amen, and amen is translated in Hebrew to mean truth. Maybe most of you all knew that, but it was just truth. Then when you say amen, like in the pastor's ever said, I say amen, and I mean I it's true. I'm agreeing with what he says, truth. And the creation of God, beginning of the creation of God, that's talking about, he's talking about Jesus there. He's beginning of creation. He's always been. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's always been there at the beginning. That's what they're talking to the churches. Verse 4:15, I know thy works are neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, will spew thee out of my mouth. One morning, it was last August 17th, I remember the day. I woke up one morning and I was really, and I don't know if I was dreaming or I just woke up this way, but I had really in my mind about two of my boys, my oldest boy and my youngest boy. And it was about him not being being saved. That's what I thought about, being lukewarm or cold. And so that was really on my mind. And I woke up that morning, I turned my Baptist bread and said, there it was. That's what I was thinking about that very morning, is about this very thing. And I thought, you know, that's what I needed to know for that day. It was really something to know that. So, I know thy works that are neither cold nor hot. The word work cold or hot. So, what he's saying here is, we probably know a lot of people this way that are neither cold or hot. They're just what they are. And I was talking to my oldest son one day. I said, you know, I'm talking about the Lord and I have to accept him as the Lord and Savior to be able to go to heaven. He says, I know. He kept saying, I know. I said, no, you do not know. You do not know. You got to know this. You don't. And you know, we probably know a lot of people. I said, you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know him. I know the Lord. I believe in Jesus. That's all they do. That's how far as they go with it. You know, and I know all of you here today are pretty all of you saved. I know you are. But this isn't for you. This is for your grandchildren or your children or your neighbor or for somebody else to tell them about the Lord. That's what I'm telling you today about, to talk to somebody else and tell them that people that doesn't know the Lord are cold and hot, they're going to spew them out of their mouth and they're not going to heaven. They're not. So we need to know that. And the one thing is to know Jesus. Another thing is to know Jesus. That's two different things. A lot of people know Jesus, so I know him. I think that's all they need to do. They go to church maybe on Sunday or once or twice a year, like on Christmas or Easter, and that's all they do. They think it's okay. They think they're going to heaven, but they're not. We need to go and spread the truth. We need to tell people in a loving way, gracious way, what's the truth. And right here is what it says. Right here. You can show them the verses. Show them the Bible here. This is what it says. And verse 17 says, because thou says, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that are wretched, invisible, poor, blind, and naked. And, you know, look how many people we know that has a lot of money, gets great influence. And also I put in the very smart people in this category. I put the real smart people in this category with the very rich. You don't have to be. A lot of people became very rich without really a lot of education. And I know that. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of education and never became rich. But what they do have in common is pride. Pride stops them from letting them come to Christ. The rich man says, I don't need him. I have enough. Look what I have. And the very smart people says, you know, look, you know, I'm too smart for that. I know better. Matter of fact, I just talked to a woman just a couple weeks ago, a nurse practitioner, a very, very smart young woman, very intelligent. She just has smart top of her forehead. You can tell how smart she is. And I was talking to her about the Lord. And she says, well, I believe in faith, but also in science. She says, I believe in science along with that. And she talked to me a little bit about science. And I told her, I said, I don't know a whole lot about science. And matter of fact, wasn't for, I was in biology class, and wasn't for Mary Waterman Sue Long. I sat right in the middle between two girls. and they gave me all the answers. It wasn't for them, I wouldn't even probably pass biology. And the teacher knew I was doing that because I was a football player. He's one of the coaches. And I had to play football on Friday night, so he kind of looked over me for that. But so, good thing. It's a good thing I don't have to be smart to go to heaven, because I'd never make it. I'd never make it if I had to be smart to go to heaven, so I wouldn't be able to do that. But I put them in the same category as being smart and being rich. They think they're fooling them. They're just fooling themselves. And if you look back, and it talks about, the Bible talks about the rich man. And I know if you've heard this before quite a few times, but the rich man and what happens to him. His pastor, he talked about it quite a few times, but the rich man. But I like to just refresh your memory about what happens to the rich man. And I want to read to you a little bit here. Chapter 16 in Luke. Start with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared substantially every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And hell he lifted besides being in the torment, and saith Abraham's afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and let Lazarus that me dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in the lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us who would come from thence. That he couldn't, Lazarus couldn't come because of the gulf fixed. It was impossible, and he couldn't get to one another. And so that's the, and if we talk to the rich man and to the very smart, bring him to Luke 16, and it says right here that's what happens when you don't give your to the Lord. And so the rich man, the very smart, I kind of put them in the same category, like I said. And so it says right here, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus, that you won't have one thing you're going to do, and you'll be in hell. And it says that right there. And verse 19 is, many's love I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous, therefore repent. So the Lord says right here, he says, as many as I love, I'm going to rebuke. So there's a whole bunch of people that's going to be not going to heaven, and we know that. So that's why we need to go out and to talk to them lovingly. And that's how I woke up that morning. I seen this. I thought, you know, this has been on my heart for a long time to talk about this. And so, behold, I stand at the door and knock. For any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So that's what happened to me a lot of times, and the Lord was knocking on my door, and I was saying no. I said no most of my life, actually. And that's why I started doing things here at the church, and that's why I'm speaking here today. The Lord was asking me to do them things, and I'm not just going to say no to him, because when he's knocking my door, I want to answer. Because when I stand in heaven, in front of the Lord, he said, why did I give you opportunity to do all these things, but you didn't do it? So, and he's not going to keep knocking forever. He won't. And to him that overcometh, I will grant sit with me in my throne, even as also overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. So if you accept the Lord Jesus, you're going to be with Jesus at his throne, with the Father, with Jesus at his throne. It would be at him. Then who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. So people can have an ear, have him hear what he's saying. And get that to through the people we're talking to, that let him hear what we have to say about our Lord. And I try to take opportunity to talk to different people at different times. I could be in a doctor's office, like I was the other day, and had an opportunity to talk to her about the Lord. And I try to take the opportunity before I go. Pat and I, we was at a restaurant talking to the waitress there. And I asked her, she's local, and I said, you have a church to go to? She said, we just went to Ashland. And she says, no, I don't have one to go over to right now. And so I had a tract in my pocket. I gave her, I said, can I give this to you? She said, oh, yeah, I'll take it. So I had an opportunity to talk to her a little bit that day. And I asked her, I said, if you could, I said, why don't you try to come to our church, come the truth about the church, and so we can minister to you and tell you about the Lord Jesus and how to get to heaven. And so I gave her that track. She said she might come, but I never seen her yet, but maybe the Lord keep working on her and to do that. I won't keep it too much longer. I know you guys want to go. But I found a little poem here when I do my studies. And the poem, it says, here I am knocking. I thought, man, this fits right with what I'm talking about. It talks about the Lord knocking. But here's the poem. Here I'm knocking. Here I am standing at the door of your heart. Won't you let me come in and flood light where there's dark? For I've been knocking for such a long time. Don't leave it much longer to become a child of mine. I just want you to know that I have so much and can fill your heart within, that once I was starved for love. So please don't delay. I'm responding to me. For I may not keep knocking, and I have not a key. I will never force you to open the door. It's all up to you, my friend, to receive me as Lord. So I thought that's a pretty fitting poem for today. He's not going to keep knocking all the time. If he knocks on your door, answer it. And just like for us, and even for us, our age, you thought, well, what can I do at my age? Well, most of you done a lot already. Like Glenn and Rainer, and you kept the church going for all these years, and you have done a lot already, but your work isn't over. Mm-hmm. Our work is not over. Just because of our age, we're not over from working for the Lord. Mm-hmm. If we can't do much else, we can at least pray. We can pray for our church and pray for our pastor, and that might be the most important work we can do, is pray for us and for each other, and pray for the people who come to know Jesus, because the time is short. We need to accept him and go out and reach out to our people and our grandchildren and neighbors, and the people on the fence, that they're neither hot nor cold, and people say, oh, I know, yeah, like my son did. No, you don't know. You don't know. You really don't. So like it says, I will never force you to open the door. That's all up to you, my friend. Receive me as Lord.